I just want to point out, though, that the rest of the water board staff actually inputs the violations into our databases, and then we evaluate it and act on it. So enforcement is more than just the three of us. What I want to do is cover the fourth quarter report first. It's in the EO report, and I figured since I'm here now, we might as well do it now. It's on page 1152. And I'll just give you some highlights and maybe some updates on that report. At the time that the report was generated, there was 37 violations, or were 37 violations. I ran it yesterday, and there are 56. So it seemed low, but that's because of when the report was generated. Since that time, additional violations have been entered. The majority of the violations were attributed to three facilities: Molly Core, Hawk Creek, and the Forest Service Upper Truckee Restoration Project. Molly Core is attributed to groundwater violations, and it's covered by a cleanup and abatement order and permit violations. Hawk Creek Fish Hatchery is covered by a time schedule order. So these are violations, but they are below the time schedule order limits. And the Forest Service Upper Truckee Restoration and Relocation Project, we got them to agree, I think through staff enforcement letters and verbal communications, to an interim repair in the fall. And then now they aren't able to continue with that because of the major storms. So we're going to have to go back and revisit that after the winter. Another item that I wanted to update you on is the Meeks Marina, down the table. The settlement agreement was signed by our executive officer on the 1st, so that item is completed. The Lakeside Marina went out for public notice today. They have accepted the settlement offer and are waiving their hearing, so we're out for public comment. And then another item to update you on is the City of Victorville SSO ACL. This indicates that we're going to complete it in third quarter. And right now, Eric is working hard to update that because they had an additional spill in January, which is on the unauthorized discharge report, which is on page 1159. Bottom of the page, it was 68,750 gallons. So he's rewriting and adding that to the complaint. Okay, now we'll go to the annual report. And so you can go to the next slide. So what you see here is that in 2016, we had significantly lower violations, the number of violations. That did not include the stormwater violations. So it actually has gone up to where it was 543, now it's 593. It didn't include all of them. So every time I run the query, I get additional violations. So now we're at 593. Which is closer to the 728. The priority one violations, you can go to the next slide. The priority one violations were mostly associated with Barstow Wastewater Treatment Facility for groundwater nitrate pollution, and that is covered by a CAO also, and they're an update on that is they're beginning a pilot treatment study soon for treating that nitrate plume. The priority two violations were dominated by water quality effluent limit violations, and the majority, well, 35% of those were associated with TR Lodging enterprises for flow violations, and that is something that Victorville is working on to modify their flow limits. This slide, I am going to give you the, spell out the acronyms here. So the 13267 order, that's an investigative order. The NNC is a notice of non-compliance. And you can see that is the, for 2016, that's the overwhelming enforcement action that we completed. That was mostly for stormwater annual reports. So the way the statute's written is if you don't get the annual report, you go right to the notice of non-compliance. We sent out about 200 of first notice of non-compliance. We received about 120 reports after that first letter, and then we sent out 80 or so second notice of non-compliance, and we received all of the annual reports for the stormwater program. So it was pretty successful enforcement actions there. The next bullet is the ACL, Administrative Civil Liability. The facilities that we're working on, we're doing Victorville, City of Victorville complaint. CAO, cleanup and abatement order, CDO, cease and desist order, EPL, expedited payment letter. We did two for California Department of Wildlife for effluent limit violations, and we did three for the marinas. And then there was another ACL for Meeks complaint that was just settled. So those are they're related. NOV notice of violations, those are informal, not formal enforcement actions. And staff enforcement letters, those are informal. TSO, time schedule orders, and then verbal enforcement actions. So you can see the majority of the enforcement actions were the notice of non-compliance, and then the next was the verbal communication, so informally trying to get people to comply, and then staff enforcement letters. So we're trying to emphasize the informal, but this year we went ahead and went for the notice of non-compliance, which is formal. Okay, next. So the violations are broken up right now into three classes. Class one, you know, the most serious, beneficial use or drinking water problems, or fish kills, things like that. Class two, or order violations, and class three are mostly late reports. So you can see the majority are class two violations. And then unclassified, so what happens in the databases is staff around the region enter violations for their reports that they review. And then they come to, when we meet for the enforcement committee, we will classify the violations one, two, or three based on how egregious they are, what the violations are. What's happening now is that the enforcement policy is being modified, and we will no longer have the three classes, we'll just have two. One, the most egregious, and then everything else. So this may be the last time that you see this slide, or we'll have to combine class two and three. So next year it'll be class A and D. Okay, next slide. So this slide breaks the violations down into the type of violation. The SSO, sanitary sewer overflow, and City of Victorville is one, but there were three of those. And I did work out the percentages based on an observation. So that would be 0.5% of the violations were SSOs. Water quality, receiving water violations, that's 16%. Water quality effluent violations, 20%. Unauthorized discharge violations, 1%. Deficient monitoring is 3%. Order conditions, 4%. Reporting violations, 51%. And BMPs, 4%. Okay, next. Is that it? Okay.
Thank you very much. Are there any board questions from Ms. Cox?
No, thank you.
Mr. Giants.
Yes, thank you. One question. Kathy, I'm sorry that I had trouble hearing your how you defined the Class 2 violations. Could you repeat that, please?
Those are order conditions, like flow. If they exceed their flow limit, it's an order condition. Freeboard is another one. So they're not the beneficial use is not being violated, or you know, there's nothing major happening. It's just an order condition that they are violating.
Okay, thank you very much. No more questions.
Mr. Sandale.
No questions, thank you.
Dr. Horn.
Yes, thank you. I have one question. I was just curious about on your write-up that first notices of noncompliance are sent out, and then there are a lot of follow-up calls. And I was just curious. I mean, maybe you've tried it the other way of calling first and then sending letters. I'm just wondering whether, you know, which saves staff time, which the order in which you do these things, whether you make phone calls first or whether you just send letters first.
We have tried calling, and it's actually harder to get a hold of these people than you would think. So sending the letter kind of gets their attention and brings them to us. So the phone calls are mostly return phone calls. You get a letter saying you're out of compliance and listing the citations and the fines, then you are motivated to find out how to resolve that. And a lot of the phone calls and a lot of the outreach that we had to do after these letters went out were people who couldn't access the databases, were having trouble getting their reports in, so they wanted to comply, and they had, you know, some of them had been calling the State Board help desk trying to get help. And that there was a lag in getting calls back, and so they were really happy to hear from our staff, actually. So
yeah, that's interesting. And so, I mean, in terms of, you know, ranking the order of these different violation types, I guess, you know, 51% being reporting violations, well, that's rather minimal in importance. I mean, we do need the reports, obviously, but nobody's health is at risk, we hope.
We hope.
Well, I mean, just opposed to, you know, some unauthorized discharge of something really horrible, you know, that's probably more serious than somebody not being able to submit a report. So, I guess.
I think that the objective was to make contacts with our dischargers and to try and bring them in and to get them to voluntarily,
yes,
you know, complete their projects or their reports. And so next year, last year our emphasis was on stormwater, and next year we're going to move into self-monitoring discharge reports and try and get those reports in, because we also have a chunk of those reports that are late or just not submitted. So I think that the takeaway is that these letters did help. People did submit their reports after they were contacted. And so I hope that we have the same results with the self-monitoring report objective that we have for this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Jardine?
No questions.
I don't have any questions. I would just note really briefly, the other advantage of sending out a letter is that it's easier to document that you've given notice to the potential violator. And it also is easier to go back in history and discover that you've had to send a letter every year for the last X number of years, if that happens to be the case. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
So the next item on the agenda is item 5, the discussion of Lahontan Water Board priorities and accomplishments.
Good evening, Chairman Pumphrey and board members. I'm Patty Kuyum-Jung. I'm very thrilled to present again to the board our annual priorities and accomplishments item that is becoming an annual event for us. I will be tag teaming this event with Laura Kemp, our assistant executive officer, so we'll be stepping up and down here. Next slide, please. What I'd like to cover is, in this presentation, is an overview and purpose. Lori will cover our budget, a little bit about the accomplishment and performance purpose that Lori will cover as well. But I'd like to spend some more time with the board on the key efforts and challenges and get your guidance on some of our priorities going forward. But let me just give you a quick overview. This is, as I mentioned, our annual event. I think there's a lot of really good information, this agenda item. A lot of talks about what we do today or what we have accomplished. There's program fact sheets that I won't go over, but encourage you to look at that really kind of talks about our various programs. I think there's 15 total. And what are some of our key accomplishments, the performance targets, and also what is unaddressed in those programs. So it's a lot of good information. We also cover our fiscal information in this packet, as well as performance targets, the state policies that the state board is working on that we are involved in as well. Again, our key efforts, stuff that the staff is working on now, and some ideas that we want to do for some big ticket policy items, projects and permits that I hope to get the board's further input on. So next slide, please. I just wanted to show the board and the public this slide to ground you in the uniqueness of our region. I won't go over all those facts, but just to say that we have a rather large region